At the just concluded Commodity Classic 2010 in Anaheim, California, one of the sessions that was offered on the final day of the Classic was a look at Washington, D.C. policy and its impact on U.S. agriculture. The two folks that were called in from Washington to give their thoughts on where we stand policy-wise, Mary Kay Thatcher, longtime lobbyist for American Farm Bureau, and the new vice president for governmental relations for the National Farmers Union, Chandler Gould. We had a chance to talk with Chandler just before the start of the session, and he gave us his priorities that are going on as far as topics that impact agriculture back in our nation's capital.
Well, I would definitely say that we need to continue looking at what's going to happen with climate change or some type of climate and energy type of bill. NFU has been very supportive of the climate change legislation that's been going through the Senate, mainly because the Supreme Court has come out and said the EPA does have the legal authority to come out and regulate greenhouse gas emissions. So we have a choice in agriculture of either working on a climate change bill where we can find offsets or letting the EPA come out and regulate us where we're not going to be able to find any financial benefits in there for our producers. So I would say that's one of the number one things for us, as well as in making sure that we still have a good, strong baseline for the farm bill as it comes up. We know we're going to start hearings on that this year and then on into next year. And then making sure that we have a good baseline for crop insurance. That's going to be our safety net and the strongest safety net for our producers as we continue through multiple farm bills over the next 10, 15 years. So I would say those are the top three issues I would be concerned about.
On the second two issues, it all boils down to money. We're hearing, you know, talk about reconciliation and a lot of folks looking to that money with a lot of envy.
You're exactly right. We were with Chairman Peterson last week on three different occasions, and he said there's a good possibility if they do come out with reconciliation, we may have to write the farm bill next year, a year earlier than planned. And writing a farm bill during reconciliation means cuts across the board in everything. And so anything that we can do to help protect our current baseline, whether it's through conservation programs or even we have to remember the Farm Bill does nutrition programs as well, and protecting crop insurance is going to be vital to make sure that we have enough money to run our farm programs.
As far as all these environmental issues, you mentioned the EPA and their, you know, dealing with climate change, with the greenhouse gas emissions. We're also hearing from this one Supreme Court case, or lack of a Supreme Court case, Supreme Court not deciding to get involved with this issue of applications of pesticides over water. What's the implications?
Well, I think that basically since the Supreme Court didn't get involved there, you can expect the EPA to come out with some type of regulatory reform or in the form of a rule or something. And so we as agriculture need to make sure that we come together with very sound science of what is acceptable, what we can do. And there's always room for improvement. But if we leave it just up to the EPA to come out with a rule, they're going to make it where we aren't going to be able to use any type of tools for insects and fungus and things like that. So we need to make sure that we all comment, we tell what our current practices are and what some good practices and good farm management tools are to give to the EPA so they don't just come out with their own rule with lack of information from the producing side.
After listening to both Chandler and Mary Kay during the session, we had the chance afterwards to go through and talk about the points raised during the session with lobbyist Mary Kay Thatcher of American Farm Bureau.
Sarah led off this whole issue of budget reconciliation. You see that as a real possibility, right?
I do. I think that there's a very good chance. I think you're not going to see much about the deficit before the elections, but presumably this deficit commission will report in December, and, you know, how can they not have some pretty startling things to say? And I think eventually we're going to have to get a hold of it. So I suspect we could have some reconciliation. Now, you know, it might be 1% or 2%, which you can probably deal with without having to redo a farm bill, but it might be more significant.
Yeah, of course, the thing is, as you pointed out, a 10% cut in USDA means big cuts potentially in farm programs.
Absolutely, because it's pretty unrealistic to think that the 70% of the money that's at USDA now that is for nutrition programs is going to get cut. I mean, we're looking at tremendous increases in the number of people on food stamps. We're looking at a child nutrition reauthorization bill this year where people are going to make the case there's a large percentage of kids that can't afford the school lunch anymore. It's 30 or 40 cents higher than they can afford. So you're looking at money going up in those programs, and we're not going to come in a reconciliation bill and cut that. It's going to fall disproportionately on agriculture, on conservation, those kinds of issues.
Crop insurance as well.
Absolutely. Crop insurance right now is costing just slightly less than the commodity programs. But next year and every year thereafter, it's predicted we'll actually be having more federal government dollars spent for crop insurance, for premium subsidies, for subsidies to keep the companies going, et cetera, than we are on marketing loans and targets and direct payments and disaster and all those things.
Of course, we're hearing a lot of talk about wanting to cut dollars to crop insurance.
Well, yes, because the USDA is in the middle of renegotiating what they call their standard reinsurance agreement with the companies, and they're looking somewhere in the range right now of almost $7 billion in cuts over the next 10 years. Now, those cuts are presumably not something that's going to affect farmers. It's something that will affect the crop insurance companies, because there's a belief at USDA that due to technology changes and everything else, the price of corn and soybeans especially, that those companies have just been taking in more profit than is probably necessary.
On cap and trade, is your view that we're hearing several folks from Congress say it's dead. Is that realistic to say?
I think it is realistic. I don't think it's quite dead yet, and I wouldn't want to say farmers ought to quit working on it, because I don't think they should. But I think if we can get to mid to late April, and it hasn't moved, that we have a pretty good shot. It's just so controversial that I don't think this Congress is going to want to deal with it that close to an election.
You indicated maybe some sort of an energy bill, though.
I think there's a good chance of an energy bill. You know, people are going to want to do something about the reliance we have on foreign oil. And whether it's looking at more wind energy or subsidies for nuclear or whatever, I think there's a shot that we'd put together an energy bill to have done before the elections.
Two other areas, and one is the death tax issue. We're right now in that zero, that unusual year of no estate taxes, but it comes back with a vengeance in 2011. Are we going to get it fixed?
We'll get it fixed. I don't think it'll be in the next month, but I don't think they'll go home without fixing it. And there are more and more stories now. I really just started to hear the stories in the last 3 or 4 weeks where members will say, oh, an accountant called me from my district and said, I got a problem. I got this guy, and, you know, I want to do his estate for someone who passed away in the family, but I don't exactly know how to do it. And if I do it one way and then you do something retroactively, I'm going to have negatively affected this person. So I think just now those stories are sort of trickling into Congress that just because it's zero doesn't mean you've taken away all the problems.
So retroactive is not likely.
I think there's still a big issue legally whether they can do it retroactively, and I'm not a lawyer, so I can't even begin to give you a prognosis on that.
And you mentioned stepped-up basis is key for agriculture.
It is, and that's because there's a lot of groups that have ceased talking about stepped-up basis. They're far more interested in a higher exemption level. Go from 5 million a person to 10 or to 15, and who cares about stepped-up basis? Well, we could have a pretty high exemption level in agriculture, and if we don't have stepped-up basis, we could be in a world of hurt. So we need to make sure that farmers and ranchers are continuing to emphasize that, yeah, we want the estate tax repeal, but stepped-up basis is really a critical part of it for us.
Last comment here was about the Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food campaign, and thought, you know, it's interesting. You've had some dialogue with USDA.
I have, and just indicated that, you know, we want to make sure that when you do this campaign, it's not all focused on organics and local farmers markets. That's great. Part of our producers are involved in that, but there's also a large part of more what you'd call production agriculture that have a need for Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food too. You know, look at animal welfare, man. If we could have USDA helping us on helping people understand what farmers already do in terms of animal welfare in production agriculture, that would be a really good thing. And they indicate to me they have some new plans working, and indeed they're going to move in that direction.
Mary Kay Thatcher, lobbyist with the American Farm Bureau, on this last point of Know Your Farmer, Know Your Food concept that's being pushed real hard right now by the Obama administration and USDA. Kathleen Merrigan, the number two lady at USDA. Chandler Gould had a kind of an interesting humorous comment that he offered the group, as he indicated that the trend to Eastern market farmers market in Washington, D.C. is one of those type farmers markets that USDA seems to be promoting right now. And he says, only problem is the food is so expensive that a lot of folks aren't able to shop there, himself included. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.